welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal. Coming up next here on WHFR Dearborn.
Public libraries are among the most...
Absolutely. Public libraries are among the most wonderful things. And we're going to be listening to that commentary with Jim Hightower just a little bit later in the hour. Welcome to our Friday, March 25th, 2011 edition of the new WHFR Journal, local news and alternative views. My name is Jay Koronek, and with me today as co-host is Kristen Risbeck in the studio.
Good afternoon. Hello, Kristen.
Good afternoon. Thank you for coming in for Dennis Reimar as our news director. Kristen is our program director. That's pretty impressive.
And what, backup what, news co-host.
Yeah. What does a program director do?
Program director, basically, I'm responsible for all the programming that is involved here at WHFR, including the wide variety of music that we have going on, as well as DJs who have ideas for talk shows or, you know, other things that they'd like to do. And then, of course, they get referred to you as our talk show host executive director.
Just if you want to know who's in charge here, it's Kristen. No, in terms of the officers here, it is Kristen Risbeck. So all comments and questions go to whfr-pd@hscc.edu. Well, we have a lot of special guests on our show today. And with us first are our two people are going to talk about the health fair. First of all, Cassandra Fluker, who is our HFCC Student Activities Director, whose office is right next to WHFR, so we know her well. And there's always some exciting things going on with student activities. First of all, I want to commend you for a wonderful job as Student Activities Director. There's always something going on. It's always well organized, working with the student groups and many outside groups like the upcoming health fair. Briefly introduce what the health fair is, and then we can go to our very special guest right next to you.
Okay, thank you, Jay, for allowing us to come on your show and promote this, what I say, worthy event that's coming up at Henry Ford Community College. And I think more health fairs should be in the community, so I'm very glad to bring a health fair to Henry Ford. The health fair will take place Thursday, March 31st, from 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock here in the Student Center. And the reason I developed this health fair, because a number of students come to me with health questions and want to know where to go for free health services. Mm-hmm. So instead of sending them out, I thought I would bring the services to them.
Obviously, the first step is trying to get an initial diagnosis of a problem, maybe a problem people not even aware of yet. So these are a lot of diagnostic tests that are going to be all in one place during these 4 hours next Thursday.
Yes.
And and right here at the main campus, Henry Ford Community College, 5101 Evergreen Road, just south of Ford Road in Dearborn. And any cost for this?
No, it's free of charge.
And it's open to everybody?
Yes, for the HFCC community and outside community.
There's no age limits or anything
Come take advantage of the services. And I have with me, I call him my health services consultant. He's the CEO of Connecting the Dots of Michigan. And with his help, I lined up these services. Jonathan, you want to?
Well, thank you for having me this afternoon.
You're very welcome.
This is my second year here, bringing on health services. Connecting the Dots of Michigan, which I founded in the CEO, we believe that you should make your health a priority and not an option. And so many people are making their health a option instead of a priority. And so we work with the faith-based organizations, non-faith-based organizations, we work with the colleges, block clubs, and we try to promote healthy living, getting checked, preventive, you know, get checked early. And if you get checked early before it blows up, then you can maybe eliminate some of the surgeries and some other things that you may have to do.
Right.
And so many people, if they're uninsured and underinsured, which Connecting the Dots program is tailored for, don't have health insurance, and so they feel that they can't get a checkup, or they live too far away, or they don't have transportation, or they're just not aware.
That's a hard thing to spend your money on. I mean, it really is when you sit there and you're trying to budget out things and you don't have insurance and you go, okay, I could spend $110 to go visit a doctor for a checkup, or I could buy this week's groceries.
Right.
So I can definitely see where there would be a struggle there for people to.
And that's why this program, that we, even for the students, that it's good, because those are decisions that people have to make. And so if you come to a health fair, and I always encourage everyone, if you see a health fair, even if you have insurance, go to the health fair. It's free. If you do it the other way, you have to pay a copay.
Right.
Then the doctor's going to ask you what's wrong. And if you say nothing's wrong, they won't do any testing. And if they do the test, you pay another copay. So this is free. And for those individuals who are going to the free clinics in the area, it's difficult to get an appointment if you don't have an existing history of health. So going to the health fairs will give them that history, and you can get it. You can perhaps get a sooner appointment. So it works out very well. And if you are low income, when you do get some monies together, you know exactly what your priorities will be. You know, if your high sight is bad and your cholesterol is good, when you do get your money together, you say, okay, I better work on getting glasses. And the reason we have this vision test, there are people who are literally using glasses from CVS as eyeglasses.
I know many.
The non-prescription type,
yes.
The just sort of generic
the
magnifying.
Reading
the reading glasses.
Right.
Yeah.
Or from the dollar stores
from
that
dollar
are out there.
Store.
Yeah, I know a lot of people who do
and
that.
And that's not a good thing, because your eyes will be tailored to those kind of glasses, and you're actually making your glasses, your eyesight worse. So that's why we have vision here.
Well, we should go down the list of different diagnostic tests that can be performed. Obviously, there's also counseling available in terms of how to get help, too. I mean, how to get to the doctor and the healthcare professionals that are probably going on through your organization or one of the others here. I see there's some four people talking about healthcare coverage and enrollment information.
Yes, we're going to have some vendors here. Four Star Health is a good healthcare agency. We'll also have professional nursing. And what professional nursing does is they assist women who are pregnant with home health care from the baby 0 to 6. And it's a very good organization. And then we have also coming with us Commander Cancer Institute. They'll be talking about cancer, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, prostate cancer, and different forms of cancer, and have a lot of host of information regarding that. Also, we'll have a representative here from Michigan Enrollment for My Child, and that's an organization that provides kids with health insurance. And so many of the young parents out there now, their kids don't have any insurance, and they think, well, I can't get it. My Child is available. It's there. It's very easy to apply. And if you come down, they register you right on the spot.
Oh, that's excellent.
Do you need the child with you?
No, you do not.
Oh, okay. All right.
They ask for all that documentation actually later on, because I can actually attest to how fantastic My Child is.
Oh, okay.
And it's not just actually for young people either, because they there's a lot of unemployment going on out there, and now while mom and dad can't get covered, at least your children are covered.
For our radio listeners, and I don't think we have any others except through the internet, but the audio only folks out there, My Child is M-I-C-H-I-L-D, M-I from Michigan, of course, and there's probably information on the Michigan.gov website, too, maybe about MI Child. Again, one acronym right together there. Okay, let's go through the test. You mentioned professional nursing helping people, pregnant women, as one of their keys. But we don't have a pregnancy test we're doing. We're not doing it.
No.
Okay, but we start with health screens, the ones that you might see just one or two places. Again, it's amazing that all these things are together. So you could either pick or or choose, or just wait and go through the line and get tested in more than one place. But blood pressure, glucose, and BMI, which is, I think, something about body mass index. I guessed it. Okay.
Yep.
And that's so that's if you're if maybe you need to diet or for the sake of your health, it's not just your weight, but
height, weight, and measurements. Yeah.
It's
all
together.
I don't know if I want that test.
Well, I was going to make a point here, too.
We all need it.
People say, maybe to Cassandra, why do we need a health fair? Young people are also healthy. They don't have to worry about anything. But, in fact, there's a lot of health care concerns for young people these days, maybe relating to bad diet. And a lot of young people don't even get that much exercise. You might think, well, they're so active, but they don't really get serious exercise. And so some of these tests could point out ways that they should redirect their lives early on so that they're going to have a great 60 years or 70 years more to go. And so it's just as important for young people to be health conscious as any other age, I think.
And that's definitely true, Jay. We're offering a glucose screening.
Mm-hmm.
A number of young people, they have type 2 diabetes.
Yeah, more than ever before.
Yeah. And I'm sure they don't know it. Most of them do not know it.
Right. It's not something you know until it's almost too late, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I really hope they take advantage of this glucose screening.
And that's the American Center for Clinical Trials. It's helping to do those tests. And if I can just jump down the list, podiatry screening, foot problems. You know, that's a very interesting topic. My parents were always saying, make sure you get the right shoes, because if you can't walk, there goes your health right down. You know, without mobility, it's not. So even though you can make do with maybe feet that hurt in one way or the other or limited mobility for a while, but you really need to have someone check on that. And, you know, I don't know any doctor I've ever gone to that, you know, for a general exam said, I want to look at your feet. You know, and they should, especially you mentioned diabetes.
Right.
Yes.
Diabetes.
That's actually a really good point. I never had anybody check my feet out.
Yeah.
There's a lot that your feet can tell a doctor. Anyway, so if you're having foot problems or not.
And a number of young people, they have come to me and say, oh, my toe hurts. And that's because they have an ingrown nail. And they don't know that.
They just put up with it.
It's
it
just
can get
swelling
infected
and pussing. And exactly. Hey. And they're like, oh, that's nasty.
This is lunch hour, Kristen. Come on. Sickle cell anemia test. It is sickle cell anemia, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah,
sickle
okay.
Cell.
And that's good to know, of course. Vision test from both Physician Eye Care and Henry Ford Hospital. And Mr. Tillman, you said that's a relatively quick test, so it's not a major eye chart, or it is an eye chart type thing. Right?
It's a screening. It's a very quick screen. It doesn't take that long to do.
Okay. Or, I mean, they just use a machine. I mean,
machine.
I've seen machines. You can just sit down, and all of a sudden it gets blurry, but they can sort of do a quick readout on what your vision is like.
Yes.
Is that what they're bringing with them? Great.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's going to measure your 20/20 for you. And it's a good tool, especially for those people who are using the glasses from CVS or any other outlet.
Chiropractic health screening. Now, a chiropractic doctor is mainly concerned with the alignment of bones and your body, so they're going to do a test to see what your overall flexibility and balance is like, as I assume that's the basic test they would do.
They're check your structure of your spine.
Right, the spine.
You have a lot of ailments, and a lot of it is because of your spine. Maybe off-centered, and you have a little, something's wrong with your neck, can't really put your finger on it, or your back. And what a chiropractor is going to do is just kind of give you a nice little screening and give you an idea of what that pain really is.
And how it might be able to be easily resolved if you saw a chiropractor or maybe another doctor, but usually chiropractors are more trained in that kind of approach if they discover. And this is, as you mentioned to me earlier, Dr. Herman Glass II, who is one of the really distinguished experts in chiropractic in the area, right?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Along with his dad.
I go to a different one, but a former student gives me a discount. No,
okay.
No, he doesn't. But he's really good. That's very valuable, and you wouldn't find that in typically other health fairs either, chiropractic. Flexibility demonstrations from HFCC Fitness and Wellness Department. Carol Sloan has got some experts there to see if you can bend and touch your toes and jumping jacks? I don't know. But no, that's going to be fun.
All kind of stretches.
Very. Let's go on, though. I just want to cover this and then let you folks go. But HIV AIDS testing. So that's a blood test. And yes. There's no charge for that either?
No charge.
Wow.
And okay. You get your results on the same day.
And again, it is not necessarily for someone that knows that they have it or suspect. Because anyone can get AIDS from tainted blood. Of course, HIV doesn't mean you have AIDS, doesn't mean you're going to die, but you still need to be aware of it and have your doctors look at it. So that kind of test. And I assume also that the results of these tests are all given back to the participants in a private manner.
Yes, it's all confidential.
Okay, good.
No one has your name or address or
so they don't.
It's not being reported to some agency. Or something. Or,
no.
Right. It's not the next person like, yeah, you got AIDS. No, it's no. There's some sort of piece of paper or they call them later with the test results. I don't know if can all the results on all these tests be given the same day or does some require processing?
No, all of them are given on the spot.
But I mean the results.
The results
can come back immediately.
Mm-hmm. Immediately.
Right. I love that. Immediate, yeah. Free and immediate. Wow. Okay, chair massages. all right, why not? Everybody needs a good one of those. Hand massages. So our nursing people and professionals from our nursing department division are going to be there giving massages to, along with the chairs, which do you have to put a coin in or do they just vibrate for you?
No, we have actual masseuse.
Oh, wow.
Everett Massage Therapy Institute will be here with their students. They
plus
do
as,
an excellent job.
Right.
Excellent job.
Plus advising about health care plans that they could choose from, or as Kristen was recommending, the My Child, MICHILD program, which is through the state, and we hope it continues, but Carmanos and so on. Well, ConnectingTheDots.com is Joseph Tillman's organization, if you want to check that out. If they want more information about this, I mean, we'll continue doing announcements on the air here, folks, of course, for the next several days, but they can get in touch. I assume the best number would be the Student Activities Office. Cassandra, your
yes,
office?
Which is 313-845-9865.
Okay. Again, this is the free health fair, which is going to happen next Thursday, March 31st, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You do not have to RSVP. Just come on down, as they say. A lot of free parking around on the campus, one place or the other. And this is the Student Center right at the front of the campus, Student Center and Culinary Arts, and the home of WHFR Radio, too. So you can wave to us through our windows as you're going to the health fair, if you like. Well, that's the time we have for you folks, but I hope the health fair is a great success, a wonderful service. Thank you so much, Cassandra Fluker, Director of HSC Student Activities, and Joseph Tillman for helping us to get this organized and to put it in place from ConnectingTheDots.com. Thanks for coming by WHFR today, folks.
I did have one really quick question.
Yes.
Is this posted on the HFCC website?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so they'll be able to find the information out there, too. If you didn't get that number or anything, you can go to hfcc.edu and get the information as well. That'll have a lot more for you there if you weren't able to get any of that down. Well, thank you so much, you guys.
Okay.
Thank you
for the support. And again, make your health a priority, not an option.
I like that.
That's absolutely essential. We're going to have you listen to our WHFR fair, which is going to happen right here at the Student Center tomorrow, Saturday, from 11 to 6. It's a holistic fair, so there's health involved in that, too. So that in radio, it's called a segue. We keep the similar ideas flowing from one to the other. There we go. Holistic fair, and I hope you can get to the health fair, too. Get checked out and see what the situation is. That's next Thursday, of course, from 10 to 2. Here's our holistic fair information.
WHFR and Metaphysically Speaking are pleased to announce our third Festival of Enlightenment Holistic Fair, Saturday, March 26th, from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. on the campus of Henry Ford Community College and the Student and Culinary Arts Center. There will be our usual array of fantastic vendors, psychic readers, and body healers. In addition, we will have some excellent speakers, along with acoustic music in our cafe area. All of this is included with the admission price of only $5. As a special offer, any student with current school identification will be admitted free. Please come and join us for this celebration of life and spirit. Once again, that's the Festival of Enlightenment Holistic Fair, Saturday, March 26th, from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Henry Ford Community College. We hope to see you there at the fair.
And this is WHFR, the station making waves, WHFR.fm on the internet. Jay Koronek here with you, along with Kristen Risbeck, for today's edition of the new WHFR Journal, Local News and Alternative Views. Just a follow-up about the Festival of Enlightenment Holistic Fair, which is going to be here tomorrow. Holistic, by the way, is spelled H-O-L-I-S-T-I-C. There is information on our website, WHFR.fm, about it. One thing I wanted to mention about this, other than vendors, readers, body workers who are involved with the so-called metaphysical arts, spiritual and healing, again, no endorsement from Henry Ford Community College or WHFR for any of these approaches, but just sort of informational, educational, and it can just be entertaining. There might be someone there doing tarot card readings, you know, and if there is, there's extra charges, just like if you went to a vendor to buy a, I don't know, quartz, rosy quartz crystal or something to get good vibrations from. And again, just informational entertainment. But some people really do believe in these alternative approaches, and we're just trying to present a forum that we have for the last several years, in fact, that's been very successful for us, that you can participate in and find out more about. The presentations, too, just think of some of these topics. Pathways to Inspired Living, which road are you taking? The best way to trust and use your intuition? The power of dreams? And last but not least, understanding and enhancing your sexual health. Oh, yeah. And we have professionals here. That's right, professionals in all these areas. Now, again, these areas are non-traditional and alternative, but still there are people that are making their living and careers out of them. We usually always have a chiropractor, by the way, too, and that's very professional, formally licensed. I don't think tarot readers are licensed, but nonetheless, we have several people who are involved in these topics who actually have been giving us advice and counsel, and we do go through a screening process for the people that participate here to see if they are really working professionals who are well regarded within the other folks in their same field in the local area. So there's these free lectures too that are going to be happening, as well as of course the vendors, the readers, and the body workers, who all of whom are here to, of course, present their services and their products to you if you're interested. It's just $5 admission per person to come in, and all that money goes to benefit WHFR, your favorite independent local radio station. Non-commercial, you know, so we've got to do things that help us keep the funding and stay on the air. Our big pledge drive comes up April 10th through 17th, and that's going to be an exciting week in time. But don't miss the Festival of Enlightenment, as we call it, Holistic Fair, tomorrow, Saturday. It's all indoors. Don't worry about the weather. If it's cold outside, it'll be warm inside, and it's going to be a great time. Don't you think, Kristen?
Yes, I do. Well, and actually, even if you've been just slightly curious about holistic stuff, $5 is a very small price to pay to come and check out stuff.
Yeah,
you know, in a very kind of casual basis, and it's not like you're actually walking into a tarot card reader's, you know, facility, and you just want to know more about it. This is actually a good opportunity for you to be able to see a lot of things across the board.
Yeah, absolutely. So we hope we can see you there. Kristen, you've been to some of the previous ones?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yep.
Did you get a free massage from somebody?
I did not. Oh, I did not. Sorry. I had to admit, I'm one of those funny people that I don't really like to be touched. So... So I don't do
One of the vendors for the last couple of years actually brought this like super bed.
Oh, yeah.
Thousands of dollars, but it sort of does the massage for you. Yeah. I know that our operations manager loved the chance just to lay on that, you know, and they... you know, if they're not busy, they'll give you a free sample so you can roam around and say, that was the best bet I've ever, you know, I mean, unbiased testimony for people that want to either buy the product or maybe get a massage or whatever, too. So it's a lot of fun. WHFR will be providing for a very small fee, also some beverages and healthy snacks, I understand, too, during the day if you want to eat something. Last year we got a donation from Park Place of freshly made sandwiches, and we just sold them for $1 each, but they gave them to us for free to help us out, and so I don't know if we'll have those again, but I'm just saying we'll think of something. So hope you can be here, and that's 11 to 5. Tell your friends, your family, this alternative approaches to spirituality and health. And we call it, it's usually called the Holistic Fair, H-O-L-I-S-T-I-C. Well, we're waiting for our scheduled special guest, and I'll give it out formally now to remove the tension, because it's already on our website, whfr.fm, and that is our area representative to the House of Representatives, State of Michigan, in Lansing. George DeRaney is going to be here in a few moments. He's coming over from his from the center, the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center. And that's where he meets once a month at the last Friday for 2 hours from 11 to 1 with constituents. Now, they use the, I think, the senior conference room in the center, but anyone can come and talk to George there directly and voice their concerns and give him support. But he is round and about this community so much. I have to say, and I guess I can say it without him being here because I'm sure he'd be embarrassed, I do not remember a prior representative being this active, this locally available, in charge of so many special town halls and other issues right here in Dearborn, as well as being in Lansing 4 days a week. He is really busy. Now, you may agree or not disagree on positions he's taken, but we hope to ask him about, you know, what's that legislative political climate in Lansing these days, especially for a Democrat that he is, when they do not have a majority of the House, they do not have a majority of the Senate, and there's a Republican governor. So how are things, you know, on the floor of the House in that sort of situation? What do you do if you don't agree with the powers that be? He has introduced several bills, I understand, at least a committee. Now, of course, if the committees are controlled all by Republicans, then they're never get to a vote on the in the main House. So we'll talk to him about that. Also about he said so many press releases, too. Now, we get these. I assume if you, there must be a way for someone that writes a letter or just call his office locally or in Lansing or send him an email that they will put you on the list. He's stating opinions like every week or twice a week. I've got one here from February 10th. DeRaney says, Doc, the lawmakers pay if they don't pass budget on time. And, of course, even the governor wants the budget to pass on time for a change. Everybody does. Our the Board of Ed in Dearborn would like to know what they have to deal with and not have money taken away or disappear in halfway through the year, although it's going to be less. I can guarantee them that. DeRaney, Slavens, and Costin, three different representatives, all Democrats from this area. Michigan must do more to protect our seniors. That's another proposal they have to stop elder abuse, as it's called. And DeRaney and Nathan. Nathan is a Democrat from Detroit. They stated that governor's shared sacrifice balances the budget on the backs of our kids. Lawmakers rally against rate of education funding, extra cuts to Dearborn schools. I presented last week, and I don't know if you saw it in the paper, a letter to the editor from a Mr. Angel, an angel to our kids, very well analyzing the cuts and how Dearborn is losing the at-risk education money, mm-hmm. which is so important to help supplement the and get on track the education of so many of our students, and that's just going to be gone. So besides the cut to the so-called regular classes and programs, that's going to be gone. Also, money for bilingual education is going to be gone. Now, that hasn't been passed that way yet. Not a done deal. Still time to rally and send letters and emails to the governor and to your local representatives, anybody you want to, in fact, to the newspapers, how you feel about this. Of course, I, being in education all my life, obvious bias on public education, too, that education is job one, to use a Ford phrase. Nothing more important than good education to all of our children. And I think that's a community responsibility. It's a state responsibility, too. So we'll see what Mr. Duraney has to say about that. Kristen, I'm going to have you sort of go out and look around for him, actually.
Okay.
He knows how to find his way here, but there's a special women's commemoration luncheon for women in the community and women at the college here right in our large pavilion area, and so parking is probably pretty tight. So, but if you would sort of
look
out there and run
of
right
Congressman,
in.
Congressman, why don't you go ahead and do that while I'm doing that?
Sure.
Maybe I can find him.
Okay, I'm sure he's there, and we'll get him on the air as soon as he arrives. How to get hired in 2011? Well, okay. This is a special seminar. That's a lecture presentation, panel presentation. It's going to be here at Henry Ford Community College this coming Monday. That's right, Monday evening, Monday, March 28th, 6 to 7:30 p.m. And here's how it's described. It is hosted. That means he's going to be there and say a few words at the beginning. Hosted by Congressman John D. Dingell, who does still represent part of Dearborn, the western part, as well as Ann Arbor and all the way down to Monroe, and gerrymandering, and just ridiculous how his district that formerly was all Dearborn-based, or pretty much Dearborn-based, has been chopped up and sent askew. But he still got reelected, despite of what Republicans thought they did in the last gerrymandering. He is going to host a meeting with an expert panel of human resource managers. And what is HR, you ask? Well, in the olden days, we called them personnel people, that is, hiring people, people that hire employees for businesses. Okay, so HR managers, home run managers, no, human resources, to discuss what they look for when they're hiring. So there'll be a collection of helpful tips regarding resumes and interview skills, and, of course, those nasty red flags, as they call them, that may cause an application to be disqualified, and other topics, as it says here, to make you successful in today's challenging job market. Now, that's worthy of your attention. If you're looking for a job or even want a job in the future, and who doesn't, and who knows where you might be jobless soon, and you don't even know you will be, so maybe it's a good idea to come and take notes on this. This is Monday, March 28th, 6 to 7:30 p.m., open to everyone in the community, no charge, hosted by Congressman John D. Dingell and Henry Ford Community College. Now, it's going to be in our HFCC Administrative Services and Conference Center, also known as the Andrew Mazzara Center, right at the front of the campus on Evergreen Road, and free parking all around, of course. But RSVPs are encouraged. In fact, I see they're using an auditorium in that building right now that is a little bit smaller, but they have one right across the hall that's much bigger, so obviously they want to keep it intimate for people that want to ask questions, if possible. But if you want to RSVP, it's just encouraged, not required. You should call 313-278-2936. That's the How to Get Hired in 2011 special panel presentation here at HFCC next Monday night, 6 to 7:30. The number again is 313-278-2936. And what are those red flags? I can only guess. And they should be obvious, right? Like misspelled words in your application? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Bad penmanship? Yeah, even that. Yes, right. If they can't read your handwriting or your printing, and they probably let you print if you want to, but if they can't read that, then you're no good in any job where you have to write notes or messages for other people. So writing and reading skills and speaking skills are extremely important. In fact, I would say they're the number one qualifier for almost all jobs today. That's why most interviews are done in person, so they can hear how you speak, how you talk about issues, how you respond to difficult questions. And so those are, you know, good things to note and to pay attention to. So although I know it sounds like we've heard it before, how to get hired in 2011, the employers look for, I would think communication skills would be the first thing that they would be concerned about, reading, writing, and, of course, speaking. What do you think, Kristen?
I don't know. I think these days that employers are looking for you to not only have every degree under the sun, but they're also expecting you to have cured cancer and saved the whales.
Would that help?
Yeah. You think that would help? You know, seriously, it's gotten to the point now where there's so many people who need jobs, and there just aren't that many jobs available. There just isn't. Now, this is great. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. This is a great event.
Anything might help.
Right. It might help. You never know. You may even, it could be a networking opportunity, too. You may meet somebody that, you know, it's like, oh, hey, you know, that's why job fairs, even though some of the people at job fairs may not necessarily be hiring, you never know who you're going to run into. Right. Networking. And I think that's a huge, huge key to getting a job right now in today's job market is actually more so networking than anything.
Yeah, it doesn't say on the flyer here. We just have a lovely picture of Representative Dingell, but that he's basically just saying a few words at the beginning, introducing the people. It's an expert panel, so-called expert panel, of human resource managers. So we don't have a list of those folks, but they certainly should know what they're looking for and what in general people would be looking for. After the communication skills, I would guess education levels. You have to know subject material and have it somewhat verified by a college degree or a grade on a transcript of how well you know it. Not only that you completed that official formal program, but, you know, your success at it. So I would think appropriate education. And in a way, the more the better. I remember my first job for big time money, not just at a college campus, helping in the library, whatever, was at Ford Motor Company, Woodhaven Stamping Plant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was down there helping stamp these big metal parts. And that was because, although they hired me, I had already gotten a master's degree at this point. Chrysler Corporation in Trenton would not hire me. They said I was overqualified.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, they don't want a guy that knows too much, like a master's degree, because you might know like what your rights are, and you might like go to the union and ask for fair treatment.
I disagree with you on that. when HR sees a lot of education, they see someone who's expensive.
Uh-huh.
Is what they see. They see somebody who is looking to command $80,000 to $110,000 a year versus somebody who comes in and they just have their bachelor's, but it's a specific bachelor's towards that position. Then they look at that person and go, oh, well, we can hire this person and they'll do the job just fine and dandy as this person who has multiple degrees. They'll do it just as well, and we can pay them $45,000.
Our guest has arrived. George Durrani is coming in the door right now, so we're going to be talking to him in just a minute. I'm looking at the Dearborn Press and Guide, right on the Wednesday edition, March 23rd, it's sort of a prelude to George, there's going to be a rally here, there was one at Ethel Ford High School organized by George just a little while back. Okay, and so we're going to talk about that one and the next one on April 4th also that George Durrani is going to be sponsoring and has set up. And so this is really unique that a local representative is being this community-oriented to get feedback from people. So here he comes. Here's the man, George Durrani. Welcome to WHFR.FM.
Thank you. Okay. Appreciate it. Thanks for writing for me.
You've been here before. Well, we're here anyway.
That's
so,
right.
No, but we were telling people, first of all, of course, that you're here. It's sort of been a tradition for local representatives at the end of each month, when, as best possible anyway, for 2 hours at Dearborn's Center. That you meet with constituents in the, I think it's the senior conference room.
Right, right.
But anyone can come by.
That's correct.
How was it today? What were the questions about?
A lot of important people were there, and a lot of important questions. Voting rights, people were concerned about that. Absentee voting, that type of thing. We had a group of people that were concerned about these new smart meters that you see now. That the local utility companies are installing in homes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the concern that they had was that they were maybe emitting a little bit more radiation than necessary. And so they wanted us to check into that as well.
Well, I bet that's quite surprising. Sometimes, some people, they would rather talk to you in person, and certain things can come out in that forum that wouldn't be typical in email or even a phone call.
Yeah, that's very true. And it's through meeting with people and that type of one-on-one conversation that we get ideas to propose different bills. And I tell them these are where the ideas for the bills that become laws come from.
I mentioned to our listeners early is that, and this is my opinion, and all the opinions expressed in this show, including Representative Durrani's, are not necessarily those of Henry Ford Community College, certainly not Kristen's. No. But we would hope so.
What are you trying to say, Bobby J?
Nothing. We all have strong opinions. And,
yes,
but
I
not
have very
everyone,
strong opinions.
What's important is how you can support them and how you act on them, too. And Representative Durrani, in your short time in office, 4 months since January, you were sworn in? Or
well,
was
3 months.
December?
It'll be
3 months. Okay.
3 months. Yeah, January, February, and now March.
Seems like years, huh? Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I have never seen, number one, congratulations to your staff in getting out the emails.
Yes.
No other representative has ever communicated like this from their office, and I would assume any person in Dearborn, maybe if they wanted to be part of these press releases, could be, right?
They could go to my state site and sign up to get to receive the emails.
Yeah. These are mainly intended for, of course, media outlets and newspapers and so on.
Right.
Help get the word out for you, too.
That's right.
But not only because they're position statements. Of course, they're statements about bills that you're trying to sponsor, that have, some new bills that you're co-sponsoring with others that have been introduced to committee. I don't think any have probably gotten out yet. But,
not yet, no.
Yeah. But also because it's not a Democrat-controlled situation up there. Democratic
right.
Party is in the minority in the House and the Senate, and of course the governor. But
yes.
Hopefully, some of these bills can be can get bipartisan support. But also, of course, and this is really special too, that you've had rallies locally.
Yes.
You've appeared, and tell us about these. The Dearborn Press and Guide from last Wednesday, you've probably seen, of course, does have a story about the rally about state education cuts last Monday night. Was it Monday night this week?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, 150 people attended at the event at Edsel Ford High School, and you made a statement, and of course you told people that there's a website called FightSchoolCuts.com.
Right.
They can go to add their support to that. Maybe you want to talk about that. I've already summarized, of course, several times on this show, so our listeners know that those major cuts have been proposed and may actually happen. Last week, I may have focused on on a letter from a Mr. Angel that was in the Press and Guide, extensive letter to the editor. He was analyzing how the cuts to children at risk, especially those funds for Dearborn, would be disastrous. So, apparently the proposal from the governor also wants to eliminate bilingual education. And that would hurt a lot of us.
That would hurt us. It would hurt us more than basically any other district because there's a type of funding that our former state representative, Gary Warinchak, was able to get for us and was they always assign a letter and a number to it. This was 31A money.
Mm-hmm. Yes, 31A, right.
And that money roughly is $5 million that the city of Dearborn receives for at-risk children and also bilingual education. If we lose that money, it's a tremendous hit. And it's only a hit for Dearborn. It's not a hit for any other school district. There's two school districts that actually have 31A money. The District of Baldwin and then Dearborn. And Baldwin receives 230,000-240,000. And Dearborn receives 4.9-something million.
But that's because there's a need here.
That's right. That's right. We've demonstrated that need, and that's why we were able to keep that money for the last 8 years. So $5 million times 8 years, that's $40 million that we've had in the system over the years. And now the governor wants to take that 31A money away. What would happen with it? Is it would not be a money-saving thing for the state. All that would happen is that $5 million would be distributed throughout the state to all the other districts.
Well, you know, there's a certain point. I mean, I understand the concept of shared sacrifice, and for some years at Henry Ford, when there was difficult budget times here, they would just issue an edict that, well, everyone's budget has to be reduced by a certain number of percent, how big or small you are. But the people with the smaller budgets or the special needs, they're really hurting. Yeah. And one of the great things about Henry Ford Community College and helping to support WHFR is that, first of all, our money does not come from the general fund. It doesn't come from the federal government or the state government or local taxpayer millage.
Yeah.
It's a small portion of student activity fees. So
Okay. You
might say user fees. But they could take some of those if they were desperate, you know, and relocate them.
Sure.
But we've always had a secure base. Not all the money we need. I mean, we do fundraising activities. Our pledge drive is coming up in April and over the air, but we do benefit concerts and so on. And that's fine. People work on getting community support. If you're doing a good job, you get that help.
That's
but
right.
that firm, secure base is important. If they just cut 5% of our base, that would really be disastrous to WHFR. Again, that's a secure foundation. And I think the schools have already been cut statewide so much the last couple of years. I don't think there's much of a foundation for any of the schools.
Well, and that's a good point too, because you know Superintendent Whiston has said, you know, he's only been a superintendent here for I think 3 years, but mm-hmm. he's already had to cut $6 million out of the budget 1 year, $23 million out of the budget another year, $10 million I think it was last year, and now these cuts would total up to $15 million again this year that would have to be cut out of K through 12.
We only have about 10 minutes left, but you have a town hall coming up, so maybe you want to refer to that. It's going to be on April the 4th.
Yeah, it's April the 4th, and it's going to be at the Board of Education Administration Building on Audet. And it's about protecting our children from internet predators. And we're going to have a lot of good experts, including our Wayne County Sheriff Benny Napoleon, talking about what we can do to safeguard our children from predators that they go on Facebook or whatever site it is to try to learn about your child and then get them to meet with them or something maybe even worse than that. So it's a nice town hall to let parents and teachers and children all know about the hazards of maybe the internet.
Now that will be in a paper probably next week. More information about that, but probably the schools will disseminate information too, of course, because it's mainly the younger children or the children all the way through seniors. And
they'll get the information to all the principals, and then the principals will get it to the teachers, and then the teachers will get it to their students. So. We expect a lot of people to show up because it's a pretty topical thing, and it's also will be a little bit about bullying also. And bullying is not a good thing, but it's not necessarily pushing the kid down on the sidewalk either.
Cyberbullying.
Exactly.
Is huge. Yes, cyberbullying is huge going on right now, and there are kids who have taken their lives over stuff that has gone out about them and spread through the internet.
Yeah.
It's sad. It's very sad. I mean, you know, I know people talk about words just being words. Well, words hurt.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You've already been introduced, right?
Yes,
okay,
out there. Yes.
Okay, right. All right. I've introduced Kristen, our program director,
yes.
to our listeners, but I didn't know, George, if you had met her even for a second before.
Yes.
But good.
It was very quick.
Okay.
We were rushing it.
Before, I want to move on to some proposals that I've talked to you about before that might have actually get bipartisan support and see what the status is there.
Mm-hmm.
First question about education, though, before we leave that, is that Governor Snyder has promised a major address and maybe even more specifics about education. Some sometime in April. Do you know a date on that? Or
I know it's going to be after we come back. There's a two-week session break. So we're back in session on April 12th. So I believe it's going to be that week, the week of that's a Tuesday the 12th. So
our pledge drive week, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right around that time that he'll be speaking on that.
Okay, because have any of his education, you're on the higher ed committee or the Michigan Education Committee in the House?
The Education Committee, which is basically K through 12.
K-12, okay, K-12. Well that's, so you would find out before anybody what proposals, so there actually hasn't been any specific bills introduced to cut money to that committee, or has there at this point?
There has not been any bills introduced on that, but the what we've seen in his budget proposal is basically taking $900 million out of the K through 12 budget and giving it to colleges and universities, taking it out of the K through 12, which is great for the colleges and great for the universities. Actually, it's a bigger benefit for the colleges because universities still have an avenue to...
Right, but the universities, the four-year schools are being cut, I thought, 15%, though, from their previous funding levels.
Right, so most of that $900 million is for community.
What I know is, from what I've read, is that he is changing the way certain activities are funded, and in this case, he's robbing Peter, the K-12, to pay Paul, whereas that the university, the four-year school money was coming from, I don't know, general fund or lottery or something, some other place. So, I understand what you're saying, but they're still getting a cut, a big cut. Yeah.
But in our feeling, because when I first was introduced to the budget, this was back in November before I was officially sworn in, we had a couple seminars, and they said, look, there's money in the school fund budget. Don't worry, there isn't any cuts. As a matter of fact, there's $260 more per student that the schools will get this year than the next year and then the current year. And so we said, great. But then when the governor took office, they said, no, instead of having $260 surplus per kid, now it's a $460 per kid cut because they took the $900 million out.
Right.
So that's what he's proposing, and we'll hear more about that in a couple weeks.
You know, keep us informed, of course, not at WHFR, but in the community about anything we can do, whether it's rallies here or in the state. I've already sent myself a couple of letters via email to the governor. I don't know how open Republican legislators outside this area would be getting my emails, but probably anything might help at this point.
Very good.
Let me talk to you about a few things in our remaining time. They're big questions, and maybe nobody will get to them, but there could be some general, or maybe they'll take longer to work out, but some general approaches that might take us further into the future. We're going to have, there is going to be, in fact, where is it? There's going to be a rally in Lansing in about a week or two, I think about 2 weeks, from the Michigan Fair Tax Organization. And they're, of course, interested in eliminating income tax at the state of Michigan and replacing it with a higher sales tax, but also giving low-income people up to, in fact, everyone, prebate checks in the mail every month to pay them for that additional, for that sales tax amount, because it's going to tax everything except businesses buying from other businesses don't pay any tax.
Yep.
So my understanding is proposal would raise the sales tax in Michigan from 6 to 9.3, something like that. But all income tax, all withholding to the state would be eliminated, okay? And everybody, including the rich, gets these prebate checks once they're figured out, like, how much they would pay on food and other basic essentials up to the poverty level. So they're getting that money from the state each month to make up for that. The idea is, of course, and we've had several of the fair tax people here for the Michigan proposal, is that it's better for businesses. It actually works out better. Now, I know the governor has suggested, or maybe it's already in place, a 6% flat tax on the income of businesses. But in fact, the sales tax would even eliminate that, but put the money up front. So businesses would supposedly love this. And it does, and everybody in their paychecks every month would get, they wouldn't have that state withholding.
Right.
And what's been said, in fact, even one of our former reps, okay, I won't mention his name now from this area, but he said, well, you know, in a bad time, people aren't going to buy things. Well, it's been proven by many people, including Harvard University, the most stable tax is a consumption tax. People buy less in difficult times, but they still have to keep buying.
Of course.
So it only drops a little bit, not like property taxes. We know here in Dearborn, you're back down to about half the value or less than what they were 3 or 4 years ago.
That's right.
So the income to the city, just and the schools for that matter too, via the state, is just desperately low. So that we wouldn't be in the mess we're in if we had the fair tax proposal. Now, previously, almost no Democrats would support this. And I don't know if you've tossed this idea out with other Democrats, say, oh, that's a Republican thing. We don't want to do that.
No,
I just the PR of raising the sales tax, if that's too hard to explain to the average people. But it seems like a great idea. So, you know.
I think the idea has merit because then it gives you a foundation that you can pretty much count on without whole lot of fluctuation.
Exactly. And much more so than any other approach.
Yeah. And I'm open to listen to that discussion.
Apparently, though, it can't be done easily. And when we interviewed Snyder during the campaign, Rick Snyder during his campaign here for governor, we asked him about it, and he can't do it right away. It has to be a constitutional amendment.
That's right.
So it would take longer. So there has to be something going on sooner, I guess. But you can't get rid of the income tax or have this approach without, I guess it would be two-thirds would have to pass
two-thirds,
it in House
right.
and Senate, and then be signed by the governor,
right.
or send it to the people for a vote or something.
That's
so,
right.
What about a Michigan State Bank?
You know, did we talk about
that
the last
time
that we were
here? I even gave
you
a document about it.
Yes.
It works in other states, but again, they had to get a lot of people together, a committee.
This is Jay's own town hall meeting right here between you two.
That's good. These are important issues, and they're good to be brought up.
Well, they're a lot bigger than, and sometimes you have to do things on a larger scale as well as the short-term things to prevent a mess. Short term, you know,
right.
I just wondered, it seems like the Republicans might want to go for that. It's been proven in one other state, whether it's Wisconsin or some other state has got it, and it's really been successful in terms of loans to people, micro loans even are possible, and the state makes there's tremendous advantages all the way around. And it was actually a Democrat locally who was running for your seat, in the primary that actually brought that up.
I did talk to him about that, and I told him that if he wants to come to Lansing and sit down with me and talk about it.
It's a big question. You've got to go over it. Just like Michigan Fair Tax, we can't, 3 minutes, we can't talk about all of it.
But I've invited him to come to talk to me about that and to expound on it a little bit so we could maybe move it along.
Okay, and I'll move along to my last couple of points here. Second bridge to Canada, do you think that's really going to happen now? That would seem to be good for everyone.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen with the governor's
support, of course.
Yeah, he's pushing it very hard.
But there's a lot of Republicans that didn't want this before.
Yeah, yeah.
That they might come over now that he's pushing
it. I think because of the money that he's supposedly secured now from Canada to help pay it off. So, and if he can get $500 million from the Canadian government for the infrastructure, I think that's huge.
Absolutely. No, I think that's a good reason to do it.
And
I hope
they want to do it too. The Canadians want to do it.
I hope it's going to be a little further downriver, but I don't think it's going to be in Wyandotte. I think it's just going to be.
It'll still be in Detroit.
Yeah, still in Detroit, but at least more access, and maybe the waits on the lines going to Canada won't be so long if there's two ways across. Support for renewable energy. I didn't see much, if anything, in the governor's budget about that, or even support for American, Michigan automakers.
He was pretty quiet on both of those issues. So he still has a lot of this budget to still get out to us. So he's starting it off piece by piece. He can't hit us all at one time because it's just too much.
I just came back from a conference in Texas where it's. It's definitely springtime in Austin, Texas. But, their governor, Rick Perry, a Republican, we don't believe in government, blah, 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 blah. But for years, they have invested in special incentives in wind energy. And, of course, the wide open spaces of Texas, they have a lot of wind as well as a lot of sun. But they haven't invested in solar at all.
Yeah.
But they've been the government has been aggressive in supporting wind farms and windmills for people and so. And they've got a tremendous growth in power generation that way, and also individual businesses and jobs. And now they're thinking, since the sun is shining almost all the time, maybe